That is the most I've heard Barry speak in a long time. And he says my messages are long. It is good to be here today. I do have to tell you, though, about the whole green hair thing before it goes too crazy. I made a mistake this morning. I walked up to get coffee or something, and you know, there's a group sitting in there around the table, and as I got coffee, it might even have been Julie, somebody said, "Pastor, you know what, St. Patrick's Day coming, you ought to dye your hair green." And I said, "No way would I dye my hair green." That was Sue said it. Thank you, Sue. And then I thought about it for a minute. I said, I tell you what, if we came up with an extra month's mortgage, then I would dye my hair green. Little did I know that they decided they could come up with an extra month's mortgage. Okay. That's if we see it. Next Sunday, we'll do the green thing. But I don't think what I want to do is I want to kind of challenge you beyond that. If we go, let's see, how far past? If we go $300 past the mortgage, I'm letting him off easy, then we're going to have Scott do his hair too. He's not here. He's not here, so he doesn't know, but we'll have Pastor. All you need is $300 over the mortgage, and Pastor Scott will dye his hair green too. Now, he doesn't know that. He's in Kansas this weekend, but I'll be sure to let him know. It's always fun to be here, and we do have a good time. It's good when the church comes together and we can laugh, we can talk, we can fellowship together, we can celebrate together, and now we come at this time on this day to spend time looking at God's Word and learning from God's Word and growing in God's Word. I'm going to ask you some questions. This is going to be pretty interactive today. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and I really would like answers to these questions, and you can just do it by raising your hand. But the first question is a real simple, real easy question. It's not hard to answer at all. And the question is this: how many of you in this room actually believe in prayer? Okay, yeah, I'll raise my hand. I do too. And I'd better, right? I believe in prayer. Now, how many of you believe, and you may not be familiar with the term, but how many of you believe in corporate prayer? Yeah, okay. Corporate prayer, for those who aren't quite understanding, is when the body, when the group comes together as a whole, and we understand the concerns, we understand the issues, we understand who God is, and we love God, and we praise God, and we lift prayer up together, especially for the needs of others. And sometimes corporate prayer involves different ones praying at the same time. This morning, we're going to talk about prayer. And we're going to try to begin to understand it a little bit more. It's a question that I get more and more frequently is, why doesn't God answer my prayers? And I have to tell you the truth. God answers every single prayer you lift up. The problem is, no is an answer. And we don't like that answer. So when we pray, and sometimes we become very selfish in our prayer, and when we pray, it's, God, this is what I want you to do. It's kind of like we're the boss, he's the employee, and we're giving him marching orders. You know, God, give me this. God, take care of this. Have you ever find yourself doing that, and you sit down and you pray, and you start praying, and it's you're telling God what to do. Do this, 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 and on we go. And we forget that there's so much more to prayer. And we're not the ones really that should be trying to tell God what to do. We lift our voice to Him and we make our requests known to Him, but we have to realize God is God and He's in charge. And we have to listen to what He wants to do and understand His will for our life. The story goes like this. The doctor came in, and he gave a couple, and they were. This was this church, actually. He gave the couple the bad news. He said the one word, actually, that no one ever wants to hear. And they never want their name and this word said in the same sentence. And the doctor came in, and he looked at the husband and wife, and he said, "It's cancer." I don't know about you, those words are just frightening. It's cancer. And we're going to have to do surgery. We're going to have to do a mastectomy. Ladies, you understand the ramifications of that and how personal and how hard that is. And of course, the woman was devastated. And the doctor, over the next few weeks and months, the surgery was being set up. He took x-rays after x-rays, and he did this test. They did biopsies and all of these, and he had these results. It was documented. The cancer was there. It was growing. It was large to begin with. But something happened. The people of the church were praying. And we're praying, God, your will be done. Which is how we should pray. But as we were praying, we were also praying, Lord, please, take this cancer away, that she would not have to go through this. The day of the surgery came, and I remember I was up at the hospital, and husband and wife came in, and they were frightened. They were scared, and the husband was, he was even more afraid, not just for the surgery itself, but will his wife survive the surgery, and he had all kinds of nervous issues going. And in the little room up there at the hospital, we prayed together. And there was a group of us there, just a small group. And we prayed together, and we said, God, it's in your hands. And our prayer was, guide the surgeon's hand, give him wisdom, help the surgeon to do what he needs to do to remove this cancer. And the prayer was lifted up, if it's your will, Lord, just take it away. The nurses came in and said, it's time to go. And the husband leaned over to give his wife a kiss before she went in for surgery. And we went to the waiting room. The surgery, I forget how long it's supposed to take, a couple hours, whatever. About 10 minutes later, the doctor comes in. And we're all sitting there and we're thinking, this can't be good. Why is the doctor out here? He's supposed to be in there doing surgery. He's supposed to be in there performing this procedure. Why did he come out? And he came over to where we were sitting and he talked to us and he said, it's gone. I can't explain it. He said, there is no cancer. There is no lump. There is no mass. It's gone. And I've got the pictures, and I've got the evidence, but it's gone. God answers prayer. And we don't know when, and we don't know how. And what I found interesting in that was the comment that the family made and the woman made afterwards as they kept saying, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. And you know what? Why shouldn't we believe it? Doesn't the Bible teach us that when we pray believing? If we don't believe God can answer that prayer, should we even bother praying it? But we pray believing. We pray trusting God. It doesn't always turn out that way. But God's will is divine and above ours, and He knows so much more. The bank account only had $750 in it. $750, and there was a major outreach event going to be taking place and an opportunity to minister to over 1,000 young people in one day. 1,000 junior high school students coming together for this big, big day of activity and fun, followed by a concert in the evening. $750 in the account. The pizza showed up. And the pizza delivery man came in and he wanted to be paid for his pizza. $750 for pizza. $750 was paid out. The concert, at the end of the concert, we had to pay the performer $2,000 for that night's performance. Some of you may remember, this goes way back, some of you may remember Jeff Moore in the distance. Now that's who it was. And they were expecting to get paid when the concert was over. The bank account had been cleaned out, and we had a group of people that had been praying pretty much all day about the event and the outreach and the things that would take place. And I was given the task to keep, because we were selling tickets for the concert. And up to that point, we hadn't sold but maybe 10 or 15 tickets. And all day, as people were coming in, then I was counting money and keeping track. And it's like, oh, you know, Lord, let us make it. And we're praying about this. And it was going to be real embarrassing if we didn't come up with it. But we knew God was going to cover it. And there's a whole long story goes with this. that I'm not going to get into as to how we ended up the position we were in that particular time. But people were praying, and I kept counting money, and the concert started. And while the concert was going on, I was still counting money. At the end of the concert, we paid the band everything we owed them and had $750 left over. God answers prayer, and we don't always understand. And here's the thing. We had $750 left over, and that night there was better than 300 young people came forward and received Christ as Savior and Lord. And they went home refreshed and changed and new because of something that had happened and because God had answered prayer. God hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. And it's not always what we want. And he knows the selfish heart. But he loves us. He cares for us. I could go on and on. I could just tell you story after story after story where God's been faithful. And some of the stories are tragic. Some of the stories are sad. But when you look at them and you really dig into them, you can see where God's working through them. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning with verse 11. It really is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Because it talks about prayer, and it talks about prayer not only for those within the church, but it talks about a corporate type of prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning with verse 14, says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have consecrated and chosen this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." King Solomon, he is probably the wisest, other than Christ, the wisest man that ever lived. Remember the story of Solomon? After Solomon has moved into and he's placed as king, and God says, "Ask anything you want. Ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you, and it'll be a part of your kingdom, it'll be your reign, it'll be your story." And Solomon, in his wisdom, did this. He could have asked for gold. He could have asked for land. He could have asked for anything. And what he said to God, he says, "God, give me wisdom to rule over your people." Remember this? The stories that follow that? The two women bring one baby. They come before Solomon and they say, okay, without getting into the whole story, one woman's child died, another child lived. The woman whose child died stole the woman whose child lived, sold that child. They ended up before the king, and that both women are saying, "This is my child." And what does Solomon do? You remember? He says, "Take the child and cut the child in half and give one half to this woman and one half to this woman." And the woman who was the actual birth mother of the child said, "No, no, no, don't do that. Give her the baby," because she'd rather give up that child and see that child live than see the child die and only have half. And Solomon said, "There's the mother. Give the child to her mother." Wisdom shown. And as we read the books of Solomon and we look at all of these things, we can see great wisdom there. Well, here Solomon had built this temple. And the temple was a place for God to live. And it was a place where God would be there to be worshipped. And people would come and spend time at the temple. And Solomon comes before God and he's asking for God's blessing on the temple. And this passage we just read is really, this is God's response to that as Solomon asked for that blessing. He wanted it to be built for God. He wanted it to be full of God that the people could come and could worship him. There's three things I want us to take a quick look at this morning in this passage. First of all, the Lord hears our prayers, and we're going to talk about these things. Second, we will have problems and we will have struggles in life. It's just a simple fact. And third, God is always willing to respond to an honest prayer. A lot of people will question when I talk to them, is God really listening? Is he really, really listening to all of my prayers? The answer is yes, he is. See, when God put all of this together and he created man, he created earth, he wanted one thing. He wanted a relationship with man. And we can go through scripture and study scripture, and we can see over and over and over again where God wants this real personal relationship with man. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. And one of the ways that we know somebody is through prayer. We talk to them. If I want to know you, if I want to learn about you, if I want to find out about your life and come to understand you in the good times and the bad times, I talk to you. I spend time with you, and we learn, and then you talk to me, and you ask me questions, and you find out that he's really happy this weekend because my daughter's home. I had to throw that in. Hi, Dana. She's leaving after church, so I'm sad, but that's okay. She got to go back to school. Make good grades, honey. She's just giving me a look this morning. Have you had your coffee? No? No coffee? Okay. I'm in trouble. God wants a relationship. He wants to communicate with us. And he wants us to communicate with him so that we know each other. So it means to communicate means we talk and we listen. God wants to be plugged into your life, folks. And if it's important to you, it's important to God. People don't always understand this. And I've had people say, because they'll come and they'll talk to me and I'll say, you know what? Why don't you just pray about this? Talk to God about this. And the answer comes back, oh, this is so, you really think God cares about this? If it's important to you, then it's important to God. He wants to hear from you. And the big things, the small things, it doesn't matter. And we fail to understand this sometimes, and we think that God is just too busy for us. And that he's just too busy to even think that our issues are important. We have this concept. Now let me tell you something. That very thinking goes against the nature of God. The God that we talk about, the God we serve, the God that we sing about and are here about is greater than all of us. And there's some words that are used that are kind of big words. They're really not, but they have special meaning. There's these words like omnipotent and omniscient. And when we talk about God, we can't help but talk about these things. Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. And basically what that means, all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. That's what those omnis mean. And God is with us all the time. So when we think we're hiding these little prayers, he's with you. He knows because he can be all places at one time. By the way, do not ever give Satan the same credit or the same character that God has. Satan can only be one place at one time. He's not the deity that God is. But God is all present, all powerful, all the time. And he's with you and he knows your needs. And so no matter how small it is, he's waiting for you to talk to him about it. Because you're important to him. He's always, always there. Deuteronomy 4 verse 7 says this, God is near to us when we pray. God is near to us when we pray. Prayer is how we really transcend this world to be in God's presence. And we talk to him. And he hears everything that we say. People say, how do I talk to him? What kind of words do I use? Just talk. Just like I'm talking to you. You don't have to use fancy words. And I'll tell you what, I really get a kick out of people when they go to prayer. And I shouldn't do this because there may be somebody here that does this. But and suddenly they fall back into the, I call it the King James prayer. All right? And they start the Elizabethan English thing. They say, oh, Lordeth, we loveth thee so mucheth, and thine is the glorieth, and kind of like a lisp, isn't it? That's not how we talk. Just talk to him. God wants to hear from you, and you just talk to him, just like we're talking today. And he hears and he understands. You would talk to him like you would a best friend. You talk to him like you would a loved one. We really don't need fancy words. We just talk. And folks, he hears and he answers our prayers. The other thing you want to do when you pray and when you're talking to God, we're real good to ask, but let's not forget to come back and say thank you. You know, for the things that he does, good or bad. If we see God working and he's doing it, we need to be appreciative. We need to show thanks. If you study scripture, you're going to see in the Bible where some of the greatest blessings that people received were the ones who came back. Christ heals somebody and everybody takes off and they go to these different places. But one guy comes back and he says, thank you. And he receives a special blessing from God that the others didn't receive. And we see over and over again in scripture where those that show their appreciation to God, God just kind of pours a little more onto them. Be sure to say thank you. Well, back in our passage, as we look at it, we notice that God doesn't promise us life without trials. He doesn't promise us life without challenges. As a matter of fact, he mentions some challenges in the passage. The truth is this, in this life, we're going to have all kinds of challenges. We're going to have obstacles to get over. I call them valleys. Because I feel like in life, we're going through valleys and we're going to mountaintops. And a lot of the time, we're down in the valley. And when we're down in the valley, it's dark. The sun sets fast in the valley. And in the valley, it gets cold. In the valley, the dew settles in, and the valley can be a rough place to be. And in life, very often, that's where we find ourselves, and we're walking through the valleys of life. But the thing is, God wants us, he lifts us up to the mountaintop. We will have challenges. And how we face and deal with these challenges defines our Christian walk and our Christian character. If we trust God and we allow him to lead us, he provides a solution and a way of escape from the trials that we face. Jesus said this in John 16, verse 33. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. That's the bad news. Okay, folks, everybody's going to have trouble. If not today, you will. I'm just being honest. But he says, take heart. I have overcome the world. He told us that we're going to have problems, but he said, trust him, take heart. He has overcome the world. Anything you face, anything you do, anywhere you go, whatever trial, whatever challenge, God is there and he's already faced it for you and he knows how to bring you through it. And you may not understand how, you may not understand why. You may even say, Lord, why do I have to go through this valley? But he brings you through it. And he takes you back up the mountain. And there's one thing about it. When you climb mountains and you're looking up, a lot of time you can see the sun. Dana and I last year had a great opportunity. We had gone to North Carolina to see Donna's brother who had cancer. And Dana and I wanted to go hiking. And originally we were going to hike up on the Appalachian Trail, but the part of the trail we wanted to hike on was still covered with snow, and that part of the trail was closed, so we chose a trail that was a little lower down the mountain. And if you ever, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Cold Mountain. We love that movie, but anyway, Dana and I decided that we would hike back into Cold Mountain. And it's there in North Carolina, and it's quite a hike. And we took off hiking on this trail, and we're going further and going further. And most of the time, we're down low, and all we could see were the mountains up ahead. That was it. And the view was limited, and we had to climb over rocks, and there were streams that we had to get across, and the water was really flowing hard during that time, so we had to be careful to not slip. It was a great hike. It was a great climb, and we cross, and we make it, and we're going up the mountain, and all of a sudden, we hit a point, and we came up, and we're on top of the mountain. And when we were on top of the mountain, we looked out, and all of the other mountains spread out below us. And it was a gorgeous sight, and the sun was beating down, and it's just a beautiful day. Folks, once you get to the top of the mountain, it's fun to stay there a while with God and realize he's the one that got you there. But the view can be real limited when we're going through the valleys of life. The question is, Will you trust Him? Will you trust God enough to go to Him in prayer during the dark times, during the times of valleys? You know what people do when they get in trouble? Two things. And I've talked to enough people, I've counseled enough people that I know this to be a fact. Especially Christians. Two things happen when problems come their way. One, they quit reading their Bible. The one thing you need, this is the Word of God speaking on. They quit reading their Bible, that's the first thing. And then the second thing they do is they stop praying. They stop praying. And they stop talking to the One who has the answers. God wants us to come to Him. And in those hard times, He wants us to come even closer to Him. Our passage, chapter 14 in our passage today says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." Our part in this whole prayer thing, it's not hard, it's not complicated. Our part in this whole thing is to humble ourselves before a great and loving God. To humble ourselves before God, knowing that He has our best interest at heart. Guys, God loves you. That's what this whole book is about. This is a love story. And it's a love story between God and man. And He loves you and He cares for you. And sometimes we just have to humble ourselves to that point of accepting that and realizing that. And we humble ourselves before Him. And then we pray. It says, and we seek God's face. In other words, seeking His presence. We want to be in His presence in prayer. And it's talking about the ones called by His name as Christians. It says, turn from our wicked ways. None of us are perfect. We all have those things in our lives that we need to let go of. And He says, He'll hear from heaven. He'll hear from heaven. To me, that's awesome. It really is, to know that I'm just that close to God. It's not hard. God hears our prayers and He knows that we're going to face challenges in life, and His eyes and His ears are also attentive to our prayers. As I said, God's greatest desire is to have a one-on-one relationship with you, with each and every one of us. He wants to help us with all that we face. And if we allow Him to, we can have constant communion with Him and know that He's listening to our prayers. Wouldn't you hate to have a religion where if you wanted to talk to God, if you wanted to relate to God, if you wanted to have a relationship to Him, you had to put up this big white teepee with sticks leaning, you know, all different directions. And you had to get all kinds of firewood stacked outside. Now, this is just getting prepared to talk to God, all right? You're not there yet. And then you have to summon a drummer. So you got the drummer there. And then you got to get hold of they don't call them witch doctors, but of a medicine man or a peyote priest. You got to set all of this aside, and in order to talk to God, then what you have to do is you got to go inside this tent, and they build up a big fire, and once you're inside, you can't leave. You have to stay for the whole night, and then the peyote priest, you stand up, and he starts talking and chanting and saying all kinds of things, and he comes, and he's got this little ball of stuff in his hand, and he begins to take pieces off of it, and as he takes pieces off of it, he feeds it to you. Now we're getting ready to talk to God, okay? We're getting prepared here. And He takes pieces and He puts it in your mouth and you eat it. And after a few pieces, you start realizing, oh, I'm in the spirit world. And that in that time, and as long as you're eating that peyote, and as long as you're doing that, oh, you just feel like you're in the presence of God and you're asking Him questions. And the next morning, it's all over. And you're really depressed. Because as much as peyote is a hallucinogenic, it's a depressant. And so you go to this place that you're supposed to be talking to God, and when it's all done, you walk out and you're depressed and you're down and you're wiped out, and the first thing you do is grab a bottle and start drinking to kill the pain of the time you spent with God. I'll tell you what, folks. Isn't it a lot easier to do this? Heavenly Father, here I am. Wow. That makes sense to me. That's how close God is to us and how close we are to Him. We just call on His name and He's there. Folks, trust Him for those things that you don't understand. And we trust that He has a plan that is far greater than we are. Now, this Wednesday, we're beginning a prayer initiative. It's really throughout the city, and this is kind of an advertisement time, I guess, but I want to share this with you because I do believe in prayer and believe it's important. And what we're doing is starting this Wednesday, Seek God for the City campaign, 40 days of prayer, and it's for the city. These booklets are out there, and I'm not going to do a hard sell on these. We talked about them last week. The booklets are out there. It's kind of a day-by-day guide as far as prayer for the next 40 days starting on this coming, it's Ash Wednesday, actually, starting on this coming Wednesday. And, you know, if you've got it, you know, they're $2. There'll be a dish out there. Throw it in there. Grab a book. If you don't have the $2, that's okay. Take a book. It's all right. And just start going through this on Wednesday. Start reading it and doing the prayers. And here's the thing. We're praying for the city. We're praying for the churches. We're praying for those around us. And when we look at Freeport, and I'm going to move quickly through this, Freeport needs prayer. And from the very top down, we need prayer. This is not a political address. I don't believe in political addresses from the pulpit. You'll never hear me get up here and tell you one guy's better than another guy. I just don't believe that this is where that belongs. But Freeport needs prayer. The city needs prayer. All of our city officials need prayer. They have tough jobs. And Freeport is falling into situations that are beyond our control. And we have people showing up that are more drain on society. And so we want to be praying for these things. Industries have left Freeport. And those that are here keep cutting back more and cutting back more. And people are out of jobs. And the income is going down. Alcoholism is a terrible rate in this city. We see people just blitzed all the times and more bars just serving and serving. Families. Folks, families in our community and in our city are being ripped apart because of different stress factors. Young people finding themselves in trouble and breaking into homes and fighting, getting kicked out of school. City government. You know, I would hate to be in the position of the city council having to deal with budget restrictions and budget constraints and having to come up with a budget that works and making what I consider mistakes of having to cut public services and things like this because we don't have enough money. It's a terrible place to be, a terrible position. It's a terrible time to be in that position. And we need to pray for those officials. We need to pray for God's wisdom for them that they would find the right answers instead of looking in the wrong direction. For the next 40 days, it's not just our church. It's churches throughout the city are praying for Freeport. Pick up a book. Be a part of this and join in. Why? Because we know that God is the answer for the issues that we face. Join us in praying for the city and together let's just see what God does. And He'll work. And He'll work. I'm going to close today. I'm going to close differently than we usually do. As you know, what I'm doing is not the way we normally close our service. But here's the thing. I asked you as we began the service today, I said, how many of you believe in prayer? Boy, the hands went up, all right? Good for you. And then I said, how many of you believe in corporate prayer? And more hands went up. Good for you. Well, we're going to practice a little of that. And today, as we dismiss, I want you to think about what's going on in our city, what's going on in your life. And it doesn't have to be bad things. We can celebrate the good things too. And what I want us to do as we close today, we're just going to have a time of silence and maybe word Sherry.
Sherry.
Oh, okay. You just need somebody to give us a little music. She's coming. Good. Wow. See, she's used to the long sermons. No. Oh, man. And yes, I just love Sherry. She's just a peach. But as Sherry plays, what I want to do, just something soft here. Let's bow our heads. I want to have a time of silence. And what I'd like for you to do, because you're used to me praying and you're used to me closing. And what I want us to do is just bow our heads, close our eyes. And as you feel led by the Lord, just lift up a little one sentence prayer or something, either praying for the city or some of your needs. And nobody's under compulsion. Nobody's under pressure here. This is God leads you. And as God touches your heart. And then once we've had a few minutes here just in prayer like that, as different ones pray, then I'll just close and we'll wrap it up. So would you bow your heads? And again, just as God leads, lift a voice up to Him. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You are the God of our life. We're so thankful that You reach down from heaven and You touch our hearts. You give us wisdom. You give us insight. We're thankful for blessings that You pour out on us. We're thankful, Father, for times of healing and for times of strength. Lord, as we think about You, we look to You as a great and awesome God, the creator of the universe, the one who designed and created us just as we are. Father, now I just want to lift up this city to You. Just beginning with those officials who are making decisions for finances of the city, making decisions that may impact people's jobs. Father, I pray that they would look for wisdom and seek Your guidance.
Father, for the schools as they struggle with the young people and some of those who really aren't there to get an education but seem to be there just to cause trouble. And Father, again, be with those school administrators and teachers that they would be able to help these children, to be able to help them to get an education and to have a future. Father, I pray for the city churches, all of them that are here, that as churches we would unite in prayer, that as churches we would work together and just come before you, seeking your presence here. And Father, I thank you so much for the blessings that you give, the blessings of this church and the blessings of life. And we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.